to feel happier, to communicate better, to enhance your relationships, you need emotional resilience. Studio 5 relationship contributor Dr. Matt Townsend is sharing 5 things emotionally resilient people do. Welcome, Dr. Matt.
Here, Dalen.
He's already given me a hard time. We're through that. We're on to the good stuff. So give me a quick overview, emotional resilience.
Yeah. So resiliency, if you think about it, it's your emotional ability to handle and kind of regulate through difficult times. So if you have a curveball thrown at you, if somebody offends you, are you emotionally strong enough to just kind of breathe through it, suck it up, and move on?
So is that what emotionally resilient people do? They move on through it.
They move on.
They don't kind of
They don't wallow. They don't spin in it. They don't get stuck in it. They can kind of just move through it.
Yeah. Okay, you do have a couple examples for us. First is you take 100% ownership of your feelings, reactions, and choices.
Yes. So one of the keys to emotional resiliency is to just own you. You don't have to own the world. So a lot of people are trying to control everything that exists in the world. But as soon as you realize you can't, but you can own 100% of you. You can own 100% of your emotion, 100% of your reaction, own 100% of your behavior and your actions. Just own you. And as soon as you start owning you, you won't believe what happens. You start doing better at being you. You get better results with being you.
Which is what we all should be at the end of the day.
When you think about it, right?
Yeah, so you see, next is you see fear and change as invitations to grow. This one feels scary for me. This is why I should listen up close.
Well, I know, but you're even doing it. Like anything that's a thing that creates fear in you is an invitation for you to step into another space in your life that you're going to have to expand to do something harder. And it's, what a lot of us want to do is we run from the fear or we run from change. But the minute you run from change, you know you're not good at change. As soon as you start stepping into change and stepping into the fear, weirdly, the fear starts to go away. We probably were afraid of everything growing up, right? Like, I was afraid to walk. I was afraid to ride a bike. I was afraid. But eventually, you just do it. And when you step into it, all it's telling you is it's something you don't understand yet. All the fear says is you just need to learn more. And once you learn more, and by the way, no one's going to die. We rarely die from these things that scare us.
Right.
And then we just kind of step in and we own it. And then it becomes something that makes us more confident every time we do it.
I was talking to a friend yesterday, and we were talking about how life can really just put fear in your path at every point. I'm scared this is going to happen. What if that doesn't happen? So when you embrace it and use it as a chance to grow, doesn't that make life feel less scary?
Yeah, less scary. Because when you, not to scare anybody, what's scary is how little you can control. So if you actually just get really good, instead of just fearing everything, just get good at doing the one or two things you can do about your fear and then act on it, and all of a sudden your fear tends to go away.
Well, you just segued beautifully into you focus your attention and energy on what you can influence.
That's right. If you spend the rest of your life on everything you can't influence, you're doomed. Because not to like scare you, there are billions of things we have no control over. And there's just a few things we do. And basically whatever circle you choose to work on, your fear or your influence, whatever one you want to work on is going to grow. If you worry more about what concerns you, concerns grow. If you worry more about what you can influence, your influence grows. Then you get better and better and better at doing what's hard.
Where energy goes, things flow.
That's right.
I love that. You communicate clearly by saying what?
What you mean. You say what you mean, and you mean what you say. You gotta, so a lot of people dance around communication, but what we want you to do is actually mean what you say. If you actually are wanting more from your partner, don't hint about it. Don't hope something happens. Actually just say it. Hey, you know what? I would love to see more of this from you because it allows me to do this. And the minute you actually say it, it's way clearer. No one's reading in between the lines. And what's weird about it too is, again, you gain more confidence because you just said the thought instead of just thinking the thought.
Which kind of goes back to the fear. You usually don't say what you're thinking because you're scared, and it implies that vulnerability.
That's right. And then what we wonder is, why doesn't he ever do what I want? Well, because half the time he doesn't know what you want because you don't say what you want. And then when you say it, you don't even mean it half the time. I'm a big believer that don't ever leave a threat with your partner about something unless you are serious. Like this whole thing where people threaten to divorce each other, don't ever do that. The minute you, and I wouldn't ever even tell my partner what I would divorce him for. Mm-hmm. That's a weird thing for me too. Like a lot of people are out there like, oh, if you ever did that, I would divorce you.
Yeah.
You, honestly, you don't know what you would do until you had to do it. And so you don't need to use language like that. You don't need to be fearful. But what when you say something to your kids, mean it.
Yeah.
If we're not going to go, if this happens, then let's not go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No matter how much FOMO you have, mm-hmm. we're not going to go if we say we're not going to go.
I just keep coming back to how much power your words have.
Yeah.
Your words have power. And so if you don't think before you speak, it can go sideways.
And then you pay for it.
Last is you joyfully celebrate the successes of others. I love this
one. Isn't
this
cool? Mm-hmm. People that are resilient, people that actually believe in themselves, they don't need to not celebrate you. Mm-hmm. They can actually celebrate what's good with you. And what it does, it puts out some good positive energy,
yeah.
but it also starts to like maybe motivate you to help drive you to become even better yourself. You might even motivate others to then talk about when you do something positive,
mm-hmm.
right? So we start elevating the conversations. We start elevating everything around us. It's pretty powerful.
That is so, so good. Matt, thanks so much. Tell us about your Becoming One program. Tell us about that.
This is my way of trying to make it more affordable for everyone to come see me. So it's online once a week. I spend an hour with clients. You get in the program, you just go to matttownsend.com. It's called Becoming One. On the site, every week I do an hour of coaching. You can ask any question you want to me, and then I'll coach you through it in our calls, or you can leave messages or actually write chat messages, and our coaches will answer your questions in your relationship.
Yeah.
It's about learning to become one with others. It's about learning to become one with yourself. It's about learning to become one with your God. It's about trying to elevate life by being able to work better with the people in your life.
I love it. That sounds awesome. Well, thanks, Matt.